This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's a brand new work week. It's Monday, December 2nd, 2019, Cyber Monday. And we'll talk about that coming up on the Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart, and the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. It's a big week ahead for economic data. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, online shopping has turned into even more of a retail juggernaut on this Cyber Monday. And joining us with the latest is Dana Telsey, CEO and Chief Research Officer at the Telsey Advisory Group in New York. Dana, welcome back to the program. Cyber Monday could be any day of the Thanksgiving week, especially with some of the numbers that have already come out just about the size and scope of online shopping beginning on Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Cyber Monday is important. What you now see from Black Friday, it's almost a Black Friday week, which many people are including in the tallies for a five-day weekend. Keep in mind, you've also had promos that have been moved forward, some as early as the beginning of November. So Cyber Monday is important. The whole weekend's important. And there's still a long way to go in order to make this holiday season.
$11.6 billion in online sales just on Black Friday and Thanksgiving, and Adobe Analytics estimates that this could be a $30 billion opening weekend by the time it's all said and done. Because of the ease of online shopping and the relative strength of the economy, is it a lot easier to set spending records compared to previous years?
Certainly feels like that. The deals basically that are available on Cyber Monday are also seem to be available on Black Friday. And what you have to like is the fact that the whole omni-channel initiative is taking hold. Buy online, pick up in store. It's happening and attachment sales are growing. And I think we're going to continue to see records set, but it's as long as you have compelling product at compelling prices with an ease and convenience for the consumer.
Obviously, we'll talk about the big three, of course, Amazon, Target, and Walmart when it comes to e-commerce. But my first question for you is about in the spirit of Small Business Saturday, smaller businesses, local businesses with online stores, are they also getting a piece of this pie?
I think everyone gets a piece of this pie. As long as you're able to have the data to attract your core customer, you promote with them wisely, and you can get a piece of the pie. I think that the holiday season, when you certainly have online, it's expected that Thanksgiving Day through Cyber Monday can account for almost 20% of total holiday sales. It's important for everyone, but the season's important for everyone.
As for the big three, the Amazon, Target, and Walmart, who comes out the winner on Cyber Monday or just in the holiday shopping season when it comes to online purchases?
I think they're all coming out the winners. I mean, we're seeing terrific growth rates that have come out of Walmart and Target. Amazon continues to be certainly the king of convenience, and I think everyone's learning from Amazon in terms of how to move the ball forward. And I think almost every single retailer has upped the game and upped the ante on their technology investments in order to spearhead a more effective online compelling experience. And I think that continues to happen. Online matters, and so do physical stores.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Dana Telsey, CEO and Chief Research Officer of the Telsey Advisory Group in New York.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's a big week for numbers, starting with today's manufacturing data as we await Friday's big government jobs report. Let's get the latest now from Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist with Bloomberg in New York. Carl, welcome back to the program. Let's run down those manufacturing numbers, and why are they weighing down the market today?
Well, that certainly started the week off on a soft footing. So we saw the nationwide manufacturing ISM come in below expectations, and this signals that the factory sector is in contraction and really has been in contraction since basically July of this year. So I think at this point we can safely say that the manufacturing sector is in recession. That doesn't mean an economy-wide recession, but it certainly is a contraction for the factory sector.
Now, is this simply a function of the tariff drama with China and other American trading partners? And if that is the case, could that turn around?
Well, certainly if we saw some improvement in trade talks, that could help to support a turnaround here, although I would be cautious not to overly blame trade tensions for what we're seeing in the manufacturing sector. Certainly, tariffs and trade retaliation are leading to a lack of confidence in the business sector, and so businesses are sitting on their cash and sitting on their hands, so to speak, rather than investing in supply chains and infrastructure upgrades. So that's part of the story, but more broadly, we have slowing global growth. We have parts of Europe that are very close to recession. China definitely slowing down as well. Some of it's trade-related, but a lot of it is just a slower global growth environment, and then trade issues are just really the icing on the cake.
And then looking ahead to Friday when the jobs report comes out at 7:30 Chicago time, a good number, would that be enough to make up some of the sell-off that we're seeing today?
I think that a good number would certainly help in that regard. Now, there's going to be a little bit of a complicated arithmetic when we see Friday's number, because this will include those returning workers at General Motors who were impacted by the near-month-long strike. And so that will add about almost 50,000 to the employment number. So really, when you see that first print on non-farm payrolls for November, subtract 50,000 out of that number, and that'll give you the ex-GM number and a better sense of what underlying activity is in the economy. But the ISM set the tone, so if we see a strong report, then people will tend to say the two wash each other out. If you see a weaker-than-expected report, then that will add to this narrative that the factory sector was worse than expected in November, and then the payroll data come in weak, and that could start a negative feedback loop of sorts.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg, based in New York. Coming up next, another combatant in the chicken sandwich wars, McDonald's, is about to enter the arena.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
McDonald's fires a shot over its golden arches in the chicken sandwich wars, testing a new crispy chicken sandwich. We're talking with R.J. Hadavi, consumer equity strategist with Morningstar here in Chicago. R.J., welcome back to the program. It would seem here that for McDonald's, the play is fairly obvious. If people are lining up outside of Popeyes to get a piece of that crispy chicken sandwich, obviously every other player in the fast food space wants to get a piece of that action.
Yeah, you've got it exactly right. I mean, McDonald's has had what I consider to be kind of a subpar year in terms of menu innovation, and I think this is one of the ways to get back in. It's something they've been working on, a crispy Southern-style chicken sandwich, for several months now, and the products that they've tested discreetly before have been underwhelming, and so I think this is their way to maybe make 2020 more of a bounce-back year in terms of product innovation.
And the test will take place this month. It starts today. It runs through January 26th. Do we know what markets McDonald's will be testing out this chicken sandwich?
It appears they're going to be Knoxville and Houston as the two test markets for the sandwich. And based on the success of those markets, then we'd expect them to add a few other test markets. And then potentially, if it is successful, we could be thinking about a nationwide launch sometime midway through next year. Again, this is all early and all dependent on the success of this product. But that's typically how a new product rollout works for McDonald's.
And Popeyes, their crispy chicken sandwich helped same-store sales surge 10% during the third quarter. So the company did not just get a viral pop out of this. They really rang the cash register.
Yeah, I'd say that the chicken wars, the chicken sandwich wars, are really one of the top stories in the restaurant industry. And those players that have had it between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A numbers, from what I understand, have been pretty solid as well. I think that's one of the key trends. And I think McDonald's, if they can hit this right, it could be a key catalyst for this company in 2020, a way to kind of bring some buzz back to the brand and what kind of been an off year in 2019 in terms of new products.
Now, is this kind of a return to the battlefield for McDonald's as far as the chicken sandwich is concerned? Because about a decade ago, they kind of made a run at Chick-fil-A, at least as far as breakfast was concerned. That's when they introduced sweet tea. That's when they introduced the crispy chicken biscuit as part of its breakfast menu offerings. What was it about that experiment that didn't work, and why do they think they can do it again?
Yeah, I think that experiment, looking back on it, it was tough to coordinate the launch among all its franchisees, and I think there was some uneven marketing support too. Some of the markets marketed the product more heavily than others, and I think it was just inconsistent in terms of the both the marketing behind it and to be honest, the product itself. I think this time around, it's something that they put a lot of time and effort in. I mean, the company's been talking about a new chicken sandwich as far back as this time last year. And, you know, to see them get it out there means they've probably gone through several tests and that they're happy with what they have. So I think that's, the big difference here is they probably put more time and effort behind it. You've seen two competitors out there, and in fact, three if you include Wendy's, that have had success with these sandwiches this year. So you have a better gauge of what consumers are looking for. And I think the marketing this time around, again, if this is something that, does eventually end up with a nationwide launch, and I fully expect it to, I think there'll be better marketing support behind it as well.
Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon. RJ Hottaby, consumer equity strategist at McDonald's, are talking about McDonald's. He's at Morningstar talking about McDonald's, and they're both based in Chicago. WBBM Business, the markets are down right now in negative territory. The Dow is down 203 points. The NASDAQ is down 89. The S&P 500 is down 22. AccuWeather says breezy and cold with clouds giving way to more and more sunshine. A high today of 36. Right now, we have 35 degrees in Chicago under partly sunny skies, but it feels like 28 degrees with that wind chill. WBBM News Time, 12:31. The noon business hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stocks are trading sharply lower today. Joining us now with a look at what's moving Wall Street is Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. Hugh, welcome back to the program. The ISM Manufacturing Index starts the weekend off on a down note, and according to some other analysts, they say the manufacturing sector is already in a recession. Is it possible for the manufacturing sector to pull out of this this pattern in the next couple of months?
Doubtful. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the reason the manufacturing sector, the economy, is doing so poorly is because of the increased tariffs. And what we're seeing is in the numbers is U.S. exports to other parts of the world, other important countries, have declined fairly sharply, and as a result, that's hit the manufacturing sector of the economy. That could change if trade relations between the U.S. and China, and quite frankly, lots of other places like Europe. Today, we're looking at Argentina. If trade relations starts to improve, that could help the manufacturing sector of the economy get back on its feet. But I don't think that's going to happen overnight. That's going to take some time, and we've got to really rectify global trade relations for that to happen. So I don't think we're going to see the manufacturing sector of the economy recover anytime soon. And, of course, that's very much affecting business spending or business investment, which is also not doing well.
Hugh, over the 4 years in which I have done the WBBM Noon Business Hour, one question that we constantly come back to is this economic expansion has been going on for so long that a contraction was inevitable or is inevitable. And is some negative data point, is that sign a sign of the impending recession? I ask you about the manufacturing sector contracting. Is that a sign of an upcoming economic recession?
That certainly is a sign that you watch, and it's very troubling. There are lots of other signs that you look at which are also equally troubling. And you're right, trees just don't grow to the sky. Sooner or later, we're likely to have a bear market that's accompanied by an economic recession. Manufacturing is obviously not making me or anybody else feel very comfortable, but there are other things. I know the yield curve, which is very technical, is uninverted, but nevertheless, that's got a pretty good record at telling us that a recession might be coming. Leading indicators for the economy do just exactly what I'm saying, which is their leading indicators for the economy. They declined 3 months in a row. And generally speaking, historically, when you see that, that means we're headed towards a recession. So I think that the case for a recession is a pretty good one, or a bear market accompanied by a recession. It's about equal to the case for, well, maybe things won't recede, maybe things will just simply slow down and we'll have an okay stock market. But it's a very, very close call, Rob, and I wish I knew which was which was going to be the outcome.
On the other hand, we have many signs that consumer spending and the household economy is actually quite strong. Billions of dollars already spent online in holiday shopping since Thanksgiving. Analysts expect Black Friday shopping alone could generate $11 billion. So people do feel confident enough to spend a lot of money when it comes to getting some gifts this holiday season.
Yeah, the consumer sector has been pretty good. And it doesn't compare to times of past, but nevertheless, it's pretty good. And you're talking about $9.4 billion in online spending for what they call it, I guess, Cyber Monday. But nevertheless, that's a pretty strong number. So you're right. If you take a look at the numbers on consumer spending over the course of the last three quarters, I don't think they've been great, but they certainly haven't been dismal, and certainly nothing compared to the manufacturing sector economy, and they might just hold this economy together. So that's why it's such a close call as we look at 2020. In other words, we could simply make the case, I think the stronger case is for a slowdown, not a recession.
Very quickly, as we do enter an election year and the economy will definitely be issue number one, is there anything that the Fed or the White House can try to do to stimulate the economy or at least keep it up in the air between now and Election Day?
The Fed's done about all that they can do, so I wouldn't count on the Fed. The federal government in Washington, on fiscal policy, they could increase spending. And I don't mean to be cynical, but it's not unprecedented that during an election year, the current administration increases spending or does things to stimulate the economy. We saw it with Nixon. We saw it with Clinton. We saw it with George Bush, G.W. Bush. So it's not unusual that they try to stimulate or they increase spending in order to try to increase disposable income and, quite frankly, get votes. That also is likely to affect the outcome on the trade negotiations between the U.S. and China. I mean, there's no question that the president needs the farm vote, and getting a deal with China whereby China increases its buying or imports of soybeans, for example, will help him get the farm vote. So he knows that, and that's why I think a deal will get done. But you bet, there's a lot that could happen that comes out of Washington that could help the economy in 2020.
Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer of Hugh Johnson Advisors, based in Albany, New York.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Online shoppers don't have to worry about old school pickpockets, but they do have to protect themselves from getting their money stolen. Joining us now is cybersecurity Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout and author of the book Swiped. He's based in New York. Adam, welcome to the program. What is the number one threat to your personal information or your personal finances lurking out there this Cyber Monday?
Well, thanks, Rob. The number one threat is phishing attacks, that you're going to get what I call a pantheon of ishings. Phishing, which is dear shopper, dear cardholder, spear phishing, which would be dear Rob. Phishing would be where you get a phone call that you think is from your financial institution, just wanting to confirm certain transactions, but then they start asking you for more information about you. Or smishing, where you get a text and it says your account has been frozen, which will turn anyone into panic at this holiday season. But click on this link, do your logon, and we'll thaw your account and reactivate it.
And it's amazing. I mean, some of these the phishing expeditions or phishing attempts do lack a great degree of sophistication. You know, spelling errors, or they just don't do a very good job of replicating the look of a legitimate financial institution. And yet, if you spend any time on Facebook and you get messages from people who clicked on that "Is this video yours?" link, people fall for it, whether it's sophisticated or not.
No, they really do. Clicking links at this time of the year is also extremely dangerous. Even if it's a link, let's say, for an e-card that you think your friend or family member is sending to you, I know it's a buzzkill, but pick up the phone and call them and say, "Did you just send me an e-card?" And the same with, like, look at this picture of this cute cat wearing a Santa hat. And so oftentimes it can be someone puts malicious code onto that digital photograph. And when you click on that photograph, you're putting malware on your computer, which could turn it into keystroke logger, which means every time you log in, the hacker is getting your login information, or put ransomware on your computer, which can be a disaster for an awful lot of people.
And if you're if you say, well, the heck with this, then I'm going to go to the mall and just do all my shopping the old-fashioned way, because that way no one can steal my personal information, then you go to a public charging station, you plug in, and voila, you're a victim.
Just checking. That has actually been more theoretical than real. It's been researched. It's possible. But there is almost no instances that anyone has actually reported of it happening. But the real problem is people hook into public free Wi-Fi. And they'll hook into a network that they think looks like the name of the right network, but it's a man-in-the-middle attack where a hacker has set up a fake network for the purpose of you logging on, thinking that you're getting into the real system. And they find ways to get into your computer. They could literally be sitting three seats away from you in a cafe in a mall. And as you log on to something, they're there, and they're making you think it's the legitimate logon.
Generally, how much money is lost or spent on trying to correct yourself after you fall for a ransomware or some kind of phishing attack?
Ransomware can be, depending upon, you know, the level of the ransomware and the particular individual, I've seen it up to $14,000, $15,000 in Bitcoin. But the problem is, if you become a victim of a full-blown identity theft, it could cost you tens of thousands of dollars, and you could take a year getting it resolved, depending upon whether it's medical identity theft, full name identity theft, people opening accounts in your name, people stealing your children's information and them becoming victims of identity theft, or tax fraud where they divert your refund because they've gotten enough information about you that they can masquerade as if they were you to the taxing authorities. So this is serious stuff. People have to pay attention. And it's one of those things where if you see something, say something. And another fast note on this. So many people are attracted to these apps that are offering them all kinds of steals and deals during the holiday season, except it's a fake app. So unless you get an app from a real legitimate app store like Apple or Google Play, and even there have been some issues, or get an app related to the absolute, that's the retailer's related app, or that's the bank's app, you could be downloading something that is fraudulent, that is taking information from you or putting malware onto your mobile device, and then you've got a problem. So be careful. Before you download any app, read reviews. Pay attention to the negative ones.
Thanks for joining us. Adam Levin, cybersecurity expert, founder of Cyber Scout, and author of the book Swiped, based in New York.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, and joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Chuck Carlson, the CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond. Chuck, welcome back to the program. As always, let's get into it. Your first stock pick of the week is CVS, and what do you like about CVS?
You know, it's a company and a stock that meets a lot of our criteria in the sense that it scores well in a lot of different areas. It scores very well in value. I think when you look at the stock's growth versus its valuation, it's very attractive. Its operating momentum, CVS is good operating momentum. Its earnings estimates have been trending in the right direction. And the performance of the stock has been behaving much better over the last 6 months. You get a decent dividend yield of almost 3%. So it's a nice package in a stock that historically has been much more highly valued than it is right now, and it's starting to come off the bottom, and we think it has further upside. So that's CVS, the symbol. The stock is trading at around $75 a share right now.
And the symbol is CVS. That's easy to remember. Your next one is LPL Financial.
Right. LPL Financial is a leading retail investment advisory firm, and they're a large independent broker-dealer. And they're in a business where you're starting to see some consolidation. The biggest names, obviously, is Schwab seeking to acquire TD Ameritrade. And when you look at the valuation of that deal, and then you look at what the valuation is of an LPL, which is a fairly moderately sized company, the market cap is only about $7 billion, and you start to look at LPL and like, you know, boy, this this is probably a company that might have some takeover appeal as well in that space if you see further consolidation. Even if a takeover offer never appeared, the company is still doing quite well. They're seeing net inflows into their business in terms of assets. It's well managed, so they have pretty good profit margins. And all in all, it's a nice way to play that space. Now, all these companies tend to be pretty sensitive to overall market conditions. So if you get into an extended downward turn in the market, that's not good news for the LPLs of the world. But if you think that the bull market can continue, this is a stock that has some fundamental appeal, and it also has some takeover appeal as well. That's LPL Financial, symbols LPLA, and it's around $91 a share, and our clients own both of those stocks, CBS and LPL.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in Hammond. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just rewind at the time you want. We have a brand new pause and rewind function that works both online and by updating the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.